congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the year, it is fitting time for Christians to reflect. Christians look back as they did last Wednesday at God's intervention of history in the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ. They also look ahead confidently, even though they do not know what New Year will bring. An important way to grow is to meditate on Scripture, such as Ephesians 5, where we were in 2019. Now, my text for this morning is from the reading that we just had, but especially verses 15 and 16, where we read, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." When I was taking a layman preacher's course at the Iona College in Windsor about 40 years ago, then they told us that when you look at Scripture, you should always go back to the original text, which is the Greek and the Hebrew. But now we were lay preachers. Only theologians know the Greek and the Hebrew. So the next best thing is to go to a different translation, or even better, go to another language. And in my case, I could go back to the Dutch. And so you get a better understanding of the text. So I will give you a few examples of a different translation of the text that I just read to you. Now, the Weymouth New Testament is a very contemporary New Testament. "Therefore, be very careful how you live and act. Let it not be as unwise men, but as wise. Buy up your opportunities, for these are troubled times." King James 2000 is a newer translation of the King James. "So then, that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And now the Jerusalem Bible. The Jerusalem Bible is the Bible is used in the Roman Catholic Church. I have this Bible due that my children, when they went to Christian high school, they used this Bible for the Bible study. And it says as follows: "So be very careful about the sort of lives you lead, like intelligent, not like senseless people. This may be a wicked age, but your lives should redeem it." Therefore, I've entitled my meditation, "Redeeming Our Time." There are those who watch the stock market with much interest, an intense interest, because they are eager to seize a bargain. And they try to buy at the right time and to sell at the right time in order to experience a profit. Now, the apostle is encouraging us, this type of interest and energy concerning spiritual opportunity for service. This is called a serious acceptance of our stewardship of time. How do we redeem our time? Each of us have the same amount of time as any other person have. Sometimes people say, "Oh, they have a lot more time than I have. I'm so busy." But we all have this in common. We have 24 hours in a day. No one has as much time as they think they have. It is much later than you think. Our opportunities are rapidly slipping away, just as 2019 is slipping away from us. But dear people of God, time is loaned to us by God. Therefore, time is very precious. Time is also very uncertain, for no one knows how much time we have. Time once gone cannot be recalled. How often have you not heard, "Oh, I wish I could do it over again." And if to my case, what I would love to do over again, that I spent more time with my children when they were small. But once gone, it's gone. Some time is something for which we are accountable. Each moment as it passes, it's a meeting place of two eternities, heaven or hell. Therefore, make good use of your time. Yesterday cannot be recalled, and tomorrow can be not assured. Only today is ours. If we procrastinate, we lose the present. Someone has said, one day today is worth two tomorrows. Today is a gift. That's why we call it present time. Now our text says, making the most of every opportunity literally means buying time, the opportunity, and it's meant here in redeeming the time. It's a great part of the Christian wisdom to redeem our time, just as Christ has redeemed us. We must redeem our time. If we have lost our time, we must endeavor to redeem it. And I will get back to this on the end of the sermon. Now, but our text says, and the days are evil. We should not see this as wickedness, but rather as troublesome. Now, there is some much wickedness in the world, but that always has been. That's why God destroyed the world with the flood thousands of years ago. Terrible things happened in the time of the judges. When you read those books, it's horrible what you read. But wickedness in this case is troublesome, like losing your job or lose a loved one or having disease there's no cure for it, and many other life's difficulties. And we just read it in the litany of Psalm 90, verse 15. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years we have seen trouble. But if we walk and spend our time with the Lord, then it will give us strength for today and hope for tomorrow. Now keep in mind, whatever we do has an impact on the next generation. If you look back, then you know that our actions has consequences. Like, if you smoke, it will affect your life. If you do not discipline your children, they will run the show. If you do not speak the truth, will your children? And that counts the same with our relationship with God. If we do not walk with the Lord, then the next generation will not at all. Now, I'm not implying here that the children that are not Christians, it's always the parents' fault. Each person, when he or she comes to age of maturity and decide to go a different way than what he or she has been taught, that is their action in which they are responsible, and then they bear the consequences. If that's your case, then I urge you never to give up on your children. Keep on praying for them and let them know that you pray for them daily. I have seen where children have gone astray, and when the parents have passed away, they return to the Lord. So never give up, but our actions do have consequences. You know, we can sometimes joke and laugh about our forefathers, how narrow-minded they were. You know, they did not play cards. They did not go to the movie house. They didn't work on Sunday, and they certainly did not buy on Sunday. That was the Sabbath. You know what I'm talking about, right? But now take a good look at your parents, at your grandparents. What kind of Christians were they? Did they not walk with the Lord? Like my father always read Psalm 90. On New Year's Eve, he took the Bible, God's Word, and he read it and had a prayer just before 12 midnight. How many of us are still doing that? I don't. Take a good look at ourselves and our children and our grandchildren. Many feel like you don't have to go to church every Sunday, right? Did you know 50 years ago, every church in Essex, and there are 10 churches, had an evening service? Now not even one had an evening service. The Roman Catholic Church have something I noticed on the board, a youth service in the evening. The evangelicals held on the longest, but they let go. Will there be a church service 50 years from now? That depends on what we do today. Will we still walk with the Lord? Or like when we go on vacation, how often do we not forget the Lord? We don't do our devotion. We do not go to church. And sports, which is being worshiped, now on Sundays, the stadiums are filled and the churches are empty. Look at the time that we spend to train our children in sports during the week. And then with the playoffs, we go all over the place. We go to Hamilton, Toronto, even as far as North Bay. Do we spend the same time, amount of time, training our children? A few months ago, I read in a bulletin there was a youth service from the Clusters Chatham in Aylmer. Would we drive that far for our teenagers to go there? We even find it too much to drive once a week to the catechism classes during the week. We promise at the baptism, and I quote from the form of baptism, it's the third question that's being asked. It's on page 972 of the Grace Altar Hymnal. Do you promise in reliance on the Holy Spirit and with the help of the Christian community to do all in your power to instruct these children in the Christian faith? And we all said, we do. We know, when we look back, that we have not walked in the ways of the Lord. But as I said before, we can redeem our time. How do we redeem our time? What is that? It is our daily repentance. If this is the straight and the narrow way, the road that we go on. But if so slightly we go off that way, but after a few years or a decade from now, we are far from it. Unless we turn, repent, and redeem our way, we will be walking further away from the Lord. God is a forgiving God, one who likes to restore. That is why we are here today, to come to Him and to redeem our time. That's the whole reason why we celebrated Christmas. That was the purpose of Jesus coming into the world, not only to redeem our souls, but that we also should redeem our time. And that will reflect on the next generation. If anyone is here today and has not committed himself to the Lord, now is the time, not tomorrow. For we do not know whether there is a tomorrow. Today is the gift, the present time. Accept the Lord as your Savior. Now, let us all walk with Him from day to day. Then we can start a new year with new courage and in the hope that our children and our grandchildren will do the same when He returns. People of God, as this year draws to a close, let us lift up our hearts, put our trust in Him, and walk with Him in the new year. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Abide with Him always, and feed on His word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek. Amen.